think a lot of people are really in our kind of broad age range, though I think I'm a bit older than you are. A lot of people are really struggling to, you know, find good loving relationships. They can't buy a house, so they don't feel like they can start a family. And that kind of shifts the way people think about things a lot.
So I wanted to expand this topic a little bit is because in China, there's a fierce competition within, of course. Mm-hmm. And there's a funny thing, which is... It's also one reason, one of the reasons where the pressure comes from is that these big companies, they turn to fire people when they turn to age of 35.
Oh, wow.
So it could be unheard of to people from the Western countries because 35 is the best
Pretty
year.
Pretty young, yeah.
Yeah, it's very young, is actually. Mm-hmm. If you think about if there's no accident that happened in your life with the technology that is going to get improved, mm-hmm. Normal people probably can live up to, let's say, 80, 90, or even 100 years old, right? But then 35 is... After you, literally, it's probably like 10 years after you become or step into your adulthood.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like also very hard for me to understand. However, that is the fact. So a lot of Chinese young people, when they're doing their 30s, they started to turn their perspective to the outside of the area and started to think, maybe I should adopt something else. Maybe I should curate some other skills for me to find potential opportunities, which is a great idea. But they do have this mental pressure or societal, social pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the social pressure where people would feel it's so weird that it's too late for people during their 30s or 40s to continue study or continue, or let's say pick up a master degree, mm-hmm. and which is so common in North America. So could you share a little bit about that with them?
Yeah, I mean, the idea of someone getting fired from their job at the age of 35 is very crazy in North America.
Yeah.
It's actually, at least in Canada, it's very difficult to fire people from jobs. So usually you have to have a very good reason. They were stealing from the company. They leaked company's secrets. Mm. They committed some sort of a crime. And only then can you really fire someone. You can't. It's actually illegal to fire someone because they're too old. So that is one big difference. About the idea of, you know, being able to go back to school at a later age, I think, you know, especially as a North American, I really think that it's important that people always feel that they can be educated at later and later years of your life.
Right.
I think that, you know, learning is a lifelong thing. No one who is, you know, 60, 70, 80 years old has nothing to learn. There's always something new that's happened in the world that you can expand your mind on. So, yeah, the idea that you can't go back to school when you're older is something I don't think we want to keep around, at least in my opinion.
I know. That's what I've been trying to tell some of my friends and even clients, because a lot of them see our life through our live streaming, and they saw, oh, there's so many people being around, and but I want to improve my English because it sounds like there's a lot of opportunities if I pick up another language that's worldwidely useful, right? So, and then they start to say, oh, is it too late if I'm like 35? If it's too late that I'm 30 or 29 or 28, I'm like, dude, you're still kids if you're 27, 28, and what is too late? So in the beginning, I didn't understand this kind of questions because it doesn't seem like a real hardships. Especially a lot of people work for, let's say, 10 more years and they have savings, right? Mm-hmm. So it would be better for them to consider if they wanted to pay for the education or travel to somewhere, have a gap year or years.
Yeah.
So it sounds like actually better, right? And then they have a more awareness towards to their choices.
I think so. I think one of the big things that happened for me, like I know if I had gone to university when I was like 18, 19, or 20, I would have been terrible because I just was not focused. It wasn't something I wanted to do. But then when I got to like 25, 26, and I was much more focused and I had a stronger sense of what I wanted to do, I was able to kind of focus and commit more. I don't think, but the other thing is it's like, for some people, the problem is that they have responsibilities. So there's certain types of changes that you can make when you have no responsibilities. Like right now, because I don't have a kid or anything, if I want to pack up and move to another part of the country or another part of the world, it's fairly easy for me to do that. But if you have a family, it's different. So I think sometimes people confuse having responsibilities for not having opportunities. You can definitely choose, like learning another language is something you can do in your spare time. It's not going to be easy, of course, but that's just because, you know, if you think about it, when you were born to when you were 6 years old, you barely spoke whatever language you currently speak. So it's going to take you some time at a later age or at any age to learn a language.
Yeah. So I highly agree with that. Some of our customers or clients, they're trying to improve their improve everything. They're trying to find different opportunities, but then they started with picking up or improving their language skill, which let's say English skills, right? And I can imagine for anybody who's here and who is be able to speak another language like Chinese, they would definitely have a lot of potential opportunities rather than other people who don't, right? So that is a good idea. And when they worry about if they're being too old, let's say they're really not old at all. And I would always tell them that I actually think from my experiences, this is better. Because like you said, a lot of young people, they really feel, first of all, they're really young. They feel like there's no rush. Because when it's very interesting when people feel, when we feel it's so rushed, that is really the moment that you already feel rushed. But before that moment happened, you never feel it was rushed.
Yeah.
And so for young people, they first of all, they don't feel there's a rush at all. And then secondly, they haven't even figured out why they wanted to do this, why they need to do this. And sometimes they feel forced to do this. So there's less, I would say less
motivation.
Yeah, motivation is part of the thing. And also, I would say motivation plus a little bit pressure, right? Because the fear of losing from the competition is also a big drive. Unfortunately, that is the truth.
I think in China, it's different because in some ways, like the thing, the difference between China and Canada is China has a population of like 1.2 or 1.3 billion people. Canada is only about 40 million people.
Right.
So it's like the sense of competition is going to be so much heavier when you know there's so many more people. In Canada, it's a little easier, I think, to be relaxed because you don't feel like you're competing against so many people.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true, especially in Vancouver. People are pretty much like some local Chengdu people, actually, because we really love this kind of chilling lifestyle, right? And that is super important. However, I think China is a little different because, first of all, we literally started from extreme poverty. Right. We're just so underdeveloped and we're so poor. So, and we got from where we are within such short time. So that's like people feel like, oh my God, there's a need to do this. And otherwise, we feel the anxiety. And the second thing is, I think China really benefits from the globalization, the how the world become more opened to each nations, right? And then we realize that we're competing with people from all over the world, not necessarily each country, but literally everywhere.
Sure. It's interesting. So one of the interesting things about, because you were kind of talking about competition and the way that China developed so quickly, one of the things about that is that I think nowadays, I don't know how you would say it in Chinese, or what, is it Mandarin or Cantonese that you speak?
I speak Mandarin.
Okay. So I don't know how you would say it in Mandarin, but I know that there's a, they call it 996, working 9 a.m. till 9 p.m., 6 days a week.
Right.
And, like, that is something that adds a different type of pressure and force on people. And people here in Canada, we would not accept that. And so, in some ways, the good thing for maybe China is that through this idea of 996, whether or not you guys like it, there's more economic movement happening. Canada, all the time we're talking about the economy is not growing fast enough, or, you know, maybe we're not, the GDP is too low. So, but then again, China has its own problems in these ways as well.
Right.
China has, if I remember correctly, a big problem with underconsumption and people saving too much money and not buying enough quickly.
Yes.
So maybe a thing to add is that nowhere is really perfect.
No.
There's always going to be some one problem or another specific to the country or the area.
I really agree with that. And like you said, people don't like 996. And there are different scenarios from this 996. Mm. One is that, oh, this is a company which involved in high competition, right? Where you have to move fast, especially, let's say, in AI. You can't just wait, right? And then you're losing. And another very interesting scenario is that people stay long not because they're actually being efficient or effective, is because they need to show us or show others that they're working. So other people have to catch up. So everybody's sitting there not really making the work down.
Sure.
So that is really funny. That I think that is what people really complain about, or people don't like, is it's more about, I'm not so sure if I should call it bureaucracy or or it's just,
but the idea of, like, you pretend to work so that somebody else will also pretend to work, and then your boss is happy because everyone's pretending to work, right?
Yeah,
I don't think that that's very good for company culture.
Yeah.
I think that it makes people not want to work because it starts to feel meaningless.
Yeah.
The idea that, like, I just, you know, sit at my desk and pretend is, you know, never going to be a good thing. I don't think that here in Canada we would want that to happen either, so...
No, nobody wants that to happen. So that was one of the problems they wanted to solve, right? Let's say I heard from ByteDance, which is the parent company of TikTok. From what they said, from what the CEO said, I'm not so sure if it's true, right? But then they do encourage people to work, let's say, assuming 8 hours a day, but then you don't have to go there from 9 to 5, right? You can start from 10 to 6 or earlier. It really up to you. And also they give really good lunch or breakfast to encourage people to go there early.
Yeah.
So I think that makes more sense for the employees really put their efforts into the work instead of performing or pretending you're working.
Yeah. No, and I think that was something that was started, like, those ideas were started in Silicon Valley with companies like Apple and Microsoft were some of the first ones to do it. And I think one of the good things with those ideas is it makes people want to work for those companies, so they attract some of the better talent, the best talent. So I know that I've heard, I should say, that there's a lot of, like, Chinese students who graduate from universities in China, and then they try to move to America or Canada to do their master's so that they have a better chance of working for Apple or Microsoft or Amazon because it's so attractive. And in an interesting thing that I think is also happening is, especially with, you know, Donald Trump and all the crazy things that he's doing, Chinese universities are starting to, from some of the reports I've seen, trying to attract top talent from Canada and America and other parts of the world to go to China.
Yes.
When I was first started looking to do a master's, I went to, like, a seminar, and I think there was, like, two or three Chinese universities that were just trying to convince Canadians to move to China and study there and potentially start working. So it's interesting to see how, like, these things come full circle, and now people are thinking about moving to China as America becomes less attractive.
Yeah, I think that reminds me one of the idioms in Chinese where we say 30年河东,30年河西 means, so 30年 means 30 years, 河 means like river, and 西 is west, 东 is east, so means, basically means the situation would change every 30 years. So the first 30 years could be in, that's what happened in the west, and then later on what happened will like turn, it's like yin and yang, you see that kind of that sign, right? So that really reminds me of what the world is changing, is moving, and also the good experiences would be applicable for people who learn to adopt later. So I think China also want really cherish and appreciate talents, no matter they're from, where they're from. So that is definitely a tactic, and also Donald Trump trying to prevent too, I guess.
Yeah, it's it's interesting because, you know, I think for some of the older generations in the West, like when China, when, you know, trade normalization was happening and China was first exporting into Canadian and American markets, China got this reputation of having like lower quality products. And some older people still think of China that way. But for people who are younger, more towards our age, we don't see China like this at all. And so now with like electric cars here in Canada, it's like younger people who would love to buy, you know, it's BYD or some of these other companies. And so it's a big change in the way that people are thinking. And this idea of like, you know, every 30 years, more or less, you know, the path of the river, I guess, changes from east to west. It makes sense. There was a, there's a joke that gets thrown around a bit in political commentary about how China thinks in decades and America thinks in quarters. So China thinks more long term. And I think in some ways it's very true that America doesn't think very long term, but it may be, you know, in a generation or two that Americans start to think more and more long term, and the way that the West operates can change. But it's a long time before we'll know that for sure.
Right. I agree with that, because maybe in the generation or two, Chinese would think in the more
short term.
You never know, because like I said, my parents, they are the last generation. They literally grew up with poverty. They they grew up with being starved, and of course they would dedicate more into education for their children, right? They will work hard, complain less. And then for, I saw a lot of people in China right now, young generation, they complain that they're the that this is the worst age for the generation, and then every generation thought that way. But like, is it?
It's funny. I've heard about from China the trend. I don't know what you call it in Mandarin, but lying flat. So people who, they graduate and then they feel like they can't find a job, so they just choose to not do anything. And there's some of that happening in Canada and in the West as well. So it's interesting how some of these ideas go back and forth across the ocean.
Yeah, lying flat, 躺平. Exactly. People say that. But when you actually doing that way, like lying flat, I would say the anxiety will catch up with you, and then the reality will catch up with you. So when you experience that, you don't want to tomping, you don't want to lie flat.
It's interesting also because China has, as a byproduct of the one child policy, there's a lot less women in China. And at the same time, a lot of younger Chinese people, at least from what I've read, feel like they can't start a family in general, even if they are in a relationship, partially because of like working too much and other conditions. It's a lot happening in China, at least from what I've read.
Yeah, there's always problems, there's always pains. Like when we were very poor and underdeveloped, I think we were experiencing a lot of pains. And now we're a lot, we have a lot more money, we have a lot more developed countries, and China pull those big group of people, big number of people from out of from the extreme poverty, right? And then they still, like, everybody's complaining, or not everybody, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, in, I think every generation looks at either the next generation or the generation before them and they say, oh, they had it better. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our parents, like people in our parents' age, they might say, oh, you know, for maybe for my family, my mom or some of my older family members will say, oh, you can go to Canada or you live in Canada. So my mom and my two older brothers were born in Jamaica.
Mm.
And Jamaica was and it is to this very day a pretty poor country. So they might feel like, oh, I have it so much easier and so on and so forth because the struggles are different from one country to another. And even people who are born in Canada who, you know, might be a little older than me, they might say, oh, you know, your generation had it easier and so on and so forth. So
yeah,
no matter what, everyone thinks that somebody else has it better.
Yeah, the grass is always greener on the other side.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I wanted to know that as the younger generation, because you are not the youngest generation, but then
definitely
you
not
have some awareness and experiences in the world, and seems like you pay a lot of attention on the worldwide changing, and
mm-hmm.
also you know a lot about those things, news and phenomena in China and in the US and here in North America, even the world, let's say. So I wonder for young people like you, right, what kind of qualities that they're looking to be dedicated into the new industries or finding, let's say, companies to work for, a place to move to, or friends to make?
Wow. I mean, those are a lot of different topics, and I think each of them has different strengths that people want. So I think when you think about your friendships or your relationships, I think most people want someone they can trust and someone they can rely on to be their friend or to be their boyfriend or girlfriend. I think no one wants to date someone who they don't think is trustworthy.
Mm, yeah.
So in the sense of relationships, I think that would probably be number one. When I think it comes to companies and working, it's complicated because of the way AI is coming out. It's not always clear what a company thinks they're going to need. There's some companies that really want people to have. So when I was looking for work, a lot of places were looking for a lot of experience, and they really want people to have, you know, 2 years, 5 years of experience for every single job. And if you're young, that's very difficult because a lot of the time you just graduated from university. You're new. You don't have these things. But I think probably one of the big things people care about is adaptability. Can you learn? Can you, you know, change tactics as needed? Are you good at thinking on your feet? Another thing that I imagine, but I don't know for sure, is that a lot of companies probably want to see people who have good people skills.
Mm.
So the ability to just sit down and talk to someone is going to be very important to be able to give a presentation and, you know, feel confident and feel and project that you understand what you're talking about. I imagine that's also very important to companies. I think that, you know, those are certain qualities and skills that are always going to be important to people. So
I think I've been telling my audiences who are trying to improve their English skills that I'm like, it's really not about the exams. If you, a lot of them are adults, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just forget about all those grammar thing that you trying to study in a school, because here nobody really care about grammars. I don't know about grammar too much, but it doesn't really matter. It's really what matters is if there's no exams for you to take, you just wanted to improve it to get more connections and potentially more opportunities.
Of course.
Then you want to start from day one to try to pick up those English words, vocabularies, or sentences to really communicate with people.
Well, of course. I think if you are learning English and you have access to people who are native English speakers, one thing you should do is to ask them what an adverb, a verb, and, you know, some of these other grammatical things are, because most English speakers have not thought about that stuff since they were little kids. And I don't think it's necessary to know what they are in order to speak English, but it is important to get the practice of speaking English so that you can feel confident as you're talking to people.
It's okay.
Yeah. So that you know, so that you feel confident talking to people and that you can get your ideas across. A lot of English speakers, especially here in Vancouver, are used to talking to people who don't speak or who are fairly new to speaking English. So they're more than happy to help you. And I think if you can just try, if you're trying to learn English, if you can try to be around only English speakers. So if you work at a job where everyone speaks English and you don't and you can't, you know, try to speak Chinese or whatever other language, that will help you. It's if you are speaking too much of your own language, it makes it hard to learn the new one. So
exactly. Practice really matters and the consistencies.
Yeah.
Well, although I still have tons of questions that I want to get your opinion with, but then we're towards to the end of today's show. And I think our audiences really enjoy the conversations. They're trying to ask a lot of questions, and you provide this global perspective and fairly comment on the East and the West situations, right? Hopefully we can talk more about, let's say, how the young people from North America thinking about the Chinese product, thinking about you know, the comparison with the, if they choose to work with, the comparison with the companies from North America versus the companies in China, or when they're trying to become more global. We will keep those topics for future, and thank you so much for tuning in. And this is CJSF 90.1, and really big shout out to all the staff here to make this happen. And this is Call Me Negotiator. I'm your host, Charlotte, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
收藏化作星光，伴我度过漫长时光。夜色微光映照心底最柔软的伤，星光点点诉说为了的过往。梦里轻唱那首老歌，泪水如雨在无声的夜里悄悄流淌。时光仍然思念化作无尽长街，谁在风中轻叹断旧年华，我在岁月深处默默守望，等你回眸，照亮我漫长的黑夜。夜色渐深，灯火微微闪烁，谁在风中轻唱那未完的歌？若能再见。这岁月的河流中，静静向往。 星河闪烁。